Lunchtime Live on News Talk.
Thanks to VideoDoc. See a GP online anytime for prescriptions and sick notes. Download the VideoDoc app. VideoDoc.ie.
This is Ciara and this is a Lunchtime Live podcast from News Talk. If you like what you hear, don't forget that you can subscribe via the app or on iTunes and make sure to check us out at newstalk.com/lunchtimelive. Thanks for listening. Now, Berlin is re-nationalising private rental housing. It's planning a referendum on banning mega landlords. It's considering a 5-year rent freeze. And this is all part of a response to growing complaints in the German capital about the cost of living there and specifically the cost of housing and rental accommodation. Those conversations are clearly very familiar to us because we have them here all the time. But they are proposing to bar landlords with mega amounts of property on their portfolios. And we're asking, do you think something similar should be done here? We talk a lot about housing crises, that this is a housing crisis. But is that just words? Is that just words to be used by opposition politicians or the media in stirring things up? If it's truly a crisis, do we not need extraordinary measures? And would you welcome the kind of, I suppose, things that Berlin is considering doing, like turning private housing into social housing? Like banning huge landlords, like rent freezes. Is that what you want? 53106. To discuss this now, I'm joined by Dr. Lorcan Sir, who's a senior lecturer in housing and technology with University of Dublin, to decide and to discuss whether or not something similar would be applicable here. Lorcan, you're very welcome.
Thanks, Ciara.
You've heard what they're planning in Berlin. Do you think that something like that would be easily transferable to Dublin or Cork, or are we looking at a very different market?
Yeah, Berlin is always held up as the poster boy for rental markets, but it's very hard to compare the likes of Berlin with Dublin. So, for example, there are far greater proportion of households rent in Berlin, much more than 50%, than they do in somewhere like Ireland, where overall it's 20%. And in Dublin, it's more like a third of households rent. And they have a different profile of landlords as well. So in Germany, you'll find a lot of pension funds are big landlords. You'll find a lot of investment companies. You'll also find organisations like the church are big landlords in Germany. And of course, we don't have that here. We have the vast majority of landlords in Ireland have, so 70% of landlords in Ireland have one property, and more than 90% only have one, two or three. And we have only about 900 landlords. And remember, there's over 173,000 landlords in Ireland, and only about 900 or half a percent of these have more than 20 tenancies. So we have a totally different type of landlord structure in Ireland than Germany. And we've fewer households in the rental market. So we don't have the massive companies. So in Berlin, they're talking about banning landlords that have more than 3,000 properties. We would have, I don't know if we have any landlords around that have 3,000 properties, or if we do, it's literally, you could probably count on the fingers of half a hand, I would think.
Okay. A lot of the time, though, when people have talked about the difficulties with the rental, the private rental sector here, Lorcan, is they've referred to it being a problem that we have these kind of amateur landlords, as it were, who have one property or maybe two properties, and who possibly bought them in the boom because a lot of people were advised to buy them if they were self-employed or those types of scenarios for a pension. And so we ended up with a whole, I suppose, landlord class who were novices at it, who weren't professional landlords in general, and as you say, had very small amounts of property that they were renting out. We kept hearing that that was a problem, that it didn't drive economies of scale and that it didn't work properly, and that what we really needed was a more professional landlord scenario. Now we see vulture funds coming in here, buying up whole apartment blocks, and we don't like that either. Is there an ideal in terms of landlords? Because clearly in Berlin, they want to move away from the mega landlords. They're suggesting smaller landlords are better in some way, I presume, because they can't skew the market maybe by being an oligopoly or those types of things. Mm-hmm. But like, is there an ideal here? Because, you know, we were at one point giving out about our small landlord holdings, and now other countries are giving out about their large landlord holdings. Are people just never happy with landlords?
Partly that. And there are advantages and disadvantages to both small landlords and large landlords. The small landlords, the problem with small landlords is there's no economies of scale for them. They tend to have a lot of debt. It tends to be something to do after the day job. So if the washing machine breaks, it's something they do when they finish their own job and they come around to fix the washing machine for the tenant. All that kind of stuff. On the positive side is a lot of small landlords are very responsive to, you know, pressures that tenants find. I know myself, I rented for years, and a great landlady who reduced my rent over the years just because that's the way it happens. And you're more likely to get a rent reduction from a small landlord.
Because they have humanised their tenants, I presume, because they only have two tenants.
The other disadvantage is a lot of them are ill-informed about their duties and obligations, the rights and the law. That causes huge problems. But the big landlords, whereas they'll be well-informed about their rights and obligations, and they will have a team of people on standby to fix the washing machine and to fix the lights, do all that stuff, it's never going to be cheap. And that's the problem, I think, that in Berlin, when you get a lot of these large-scale landlords in, I mean, they're not the providers of cheap accommodation. And if you look in Dublin or Ireland, you'll find that the most expensive accommodation will often be held by large companies or by some of these large funds. And you can see, as the Department of Finance did a report out actually this month, and looking at various parts of the city, and you see places like Chapel Izzet, over 50% of the tenancies in Chapel Izzet are held by companies. Okay. In Ushers Island, in Tallaght, Springfield, all these kind of places. So there are advantages and disadvantages to both. Getting the balance right between small landlords and large landlords is incredibly difficult.
It does seem to me, and it's a slightly side issue, and I do want to sort of focus on what they're doing in Berlin, but it does seem to me, it's my understanding that the large landlords end up, because their companies, paying less tax on being landlords than small landlords as well. And if they're also charging more rent than smaller landlords, they're quids in, and there seems to be no reason why they should be, considering, you know, they're doing all right for themselves.
I have to agree with you. And the sad thing is we brought them in. We changed the Finance Act to bring in, to attract in foreign private equity into the country. And this is a real gripe that the small-time landlords have, and they're right. They will pay 50-52% of their rental income in income tax that goes into revenue. The structure of a lot of the large landlords in Ireland is such that they pay little to no tax. And that's a real gripe that the small landlords have. And yet, at the same time, they're charging top dollar rent. Now, arguably for a high-quality product. But I think it is completely wrong in any country that people can get away with having a huge rental income and pay little to no income tax to the state.
Yeah, and to be honest, I have concerns about the constant production line of high quality products that nobody can afford. We also need, and maybe the standards need to be slightly lower, but we need non-high quality, I don't mean non-high quality, but we need affordable housing, and maybe that isn't going to be, top end sort of, you know, granite kitchen islands in your apartment or whatever, but we need housing that people can afford. And this constant production of you know, student accommodation with its own cinema and everything seems to me to be kind of semi-ludicrous.
Well, it's not ludicrous if you're the owner, because it's incredibly lucrative. And the problem with having, and particularly in areas where you have large concentrations of very expensive accommodation, is that it tends to price everybody else in the area out of the market. And you'll end up with a form of kind of pseudo gentrification. And we can see it in Ireland. When you have Berlin, Google in Berlin, Google have pulled out of developing a new office block or a new centre in Berlin because of opposition from the people in Berlin to the impact that the Googlers will have on Berlin. So Google people are whatever, FDI people, who just pick on Google. Yeah. They tend to be quite well paid, and they come in and they can afford higher rents than local people. And they tend to force out or push out local people from their own areas. It's a process of gentrification, you know.
When I was saying ludicrous, I didn't mean from the point of view of the investors. I was more thinking from the renters' point of view, this constant high-end stuff that no one can afford is not the solution to our housing difficulty.
No.
Let's move on to some of the other things that Berlin have proposed. One of them is that they would, not just about the mega landlord, is that they would nationalise private rental housing. What do you make of that? I mean, for example, we have a text in from Ed. It says, Ciara, this Berlin proposal sounds like communism. Once you start seizing private property, you're on the road to Venezuela. We have never been a supporter, as a country of seizing private accommodation, really, since the foundation of the state. Is this somewhere we're going to have to go? Or is this, as Ed suggests, a move to the hard left that perhaps the vast majority of people do not support?
Actually, it may come as a surprise, but we seize private property on a regular basis in Ireland through compulsory purchase orders. And there are more than 70 bodies in Ireland that have the right to take private property from people, including housing.
Isn't it pretty low-level stuff, though? You know, you might take a slice out of their garden for bus connects. We're not taking swathes of housing.
You might take their house or their land. Yeah, no, it's not. It does happen here, and we do take people's houses for CPOs. But in general, what's been proposed in Germany is very interesting. And if you're familiar with Berlin, it kind of it strikes a chord with the vibe that's in that city. Now, we do have, there is in the Constitution a right to private property, and there is also a right that the rights of private property get extinguished or they're lessened in the interest of social good or the exigencies of the common good.
Okay.
That the power that private property has, though, it tends to overrule the social justice and common good aspect in Ireland. And I think even though technically it would probably be possible to appropriate people's properties like this, I think in reality this would never be a runner in some regard.
Well, I suppose currently the way our courts and our politicians, which are kind of centrist politicians, or indeed some of them are centre-right politicians, you can't imagine there would be any support for it. But supposing we had a different government in place, and supposing we had a different mindset in our courts, you know, that they interpreted the Constitution, do you think this is a runner in terms of providing social housing, that the state might nationalise what they currently use, that, you know, the HAP to fund, you know, giving rental sort of subsidies to private landlords? Would it work? You know, if you could sort of look at it in a vacuum, is it something we should consider?
Oh, well, then, I don't think it would work. And two, the way the situation is here in Ireland, that we would end up paying quite a lot of money to the people whose properties we were taking in Berlin. They're planning to take people's properties and pay them way below the market rate. In Ireland, we would have to pay the people whose properties we were taking the market rate, and that would work out quite expensive. And then you have the whole question of, if we took on 10 or 20,000 private properties, who's going to manage them? Who's going to run them? We have enough trouble here already trying to manage the stock that we have without taking on more, and that would be a real issue. The policy generally with government is to rely very, very heavily on the private rental sector to do a lot of the heavy lifting for them. The things we used to do in housing that were done by local authorities in the state is now being done massively by the private sector, and particularly the private rental sector. And that suits the government really in many respects.
It does, and I think for a lot of reasons that you just pointed out, it suits them. But it does strike me that we cannot expect private landlords to have the same mindset, perhaps, as those providing social housing, because that's not their job. They're in it as a business. They're in it to provide income for their families and themselves. And to suggest that they, as such, under our current laws and our current sort of, I suppose, mores, that they should be providing social housing or kind of a social conscience type of scenario in their housing seems to me to be a very different perspective on where we've been up until now. The last thing that they're proposing in this referendum in Berlin, Lorcan, is a 5-year rent freeze. Would that take the pressure off to some extent? Because people are being priced out of rental accommodation, and a lot of them are falling through the cracks. There's nowhere for them to go. There is no social housing. And it is, you know, people moving into house shares and I suppose what might be viewed as the modern day equivalent of tenements in a way, if you're, you know, a young adult professional and you're living in a house with 5 other people.
The danger with a rent freeze is that landlords will pack up and leave the market. Now, some will and some don't. And we had the same arguments here when we brought in rent pressure zones and we limited rent increases to 4%. There was a lot of talk about landlords fleeing the market. They're not really fleeing the market, even though the numbers are down about 1,000 landlords in the last 18 months, out of from 174 to 173,000. They're not really fleeing the market. The interesting thing about you know, what we have introduced in the rent pressure zones, where rents in rent pressure zones can only go up by 4% a year, and rent pressure zones cover over half of all tenancies in Ireland, in fairness to Simon Coveney, who brought it in, it seems to strike a right balance. A total rent freeze would be a very extreme measure, and doing nothing is also not on. And the rent pressure zone legislation that we brought in, now it is, let's be honest, it is working and it's moderating rents, and I've seen the data from the ESRI and from the Residential Tenancies Board. The rent pressure zones are working.
Okay.
However, they are being breached in an awful lot of cases. And
on the grounds that they're being renovated wildly. Or just
landlords coming in and saying, I want 10% and not 4%. Like, let's be honest, they're just coming and being blatant about it. But what tenants don't know, and your listeners might be interested in this, is that even if you agree to a rent increase of more than 4%, and it should be 4%, but you agree to a 12% rent increase, because you're desperate and because you can't face moving, you still have 6 years. Even if you sign up to that and you sign a lease, you still have 6 years in which to bring that landlord to the Residential Tenancy Board to get your money back. Even if you sign up for it.
Even if you've left the property, supposing you've moved on to a different property.
Yeah, even if you've done that and you cannot contract your way out of your
okay,
life.
That's good. So no matter that's good what for tenants
sign,
to know.
Yeah, so no matter what you sign, and you can sign in and you can pay the rent for a couple of years and then move on, you still have 6 years to go back to the Residential Tenancy Board and take that landlord on and get your money back.
All right. Look, thank you for that indeed. That is Dr. Lorcan Sir, their senior lecturer in housing with the Technological University of Dublin. 53106. You heard what we're talking about. They're going to have a referendum on housing in Berlin. They have similar problems to us. They want rent freezes. They want to seize, is that a strong word? They want to take private rental accommodation and nationalise it. And they want to ban the mega landlord. Now, some of the landlords in Berlin own over 3,000 properties. It's a bit of a different market to us. But what do you think? Do we need to take radical, action here, or will time sort out the rental accommodation that people are struggling with at the moment? Will the vagaries sort us out? Is that what we're kind of trying to do? We're trying to wait it out in this country? Let me know what you think. And thank you to Lorcan Sir there. Lots of you getting involved. Someone says, our government and local councils may have completely failed in its duty regarding housing. NAMA, which was supposed to restore normality to the market, was the biggest transfer of Irish-owned property to foreign ownership since the famine. So yes, radical solutions are needed. Someone else says, I think we should do something similar here to Berlin. We should nationalise doctors. We clearly have a shortage. They shouldn't be on the radio. I don't even know if I should read this on or leaving the country as soon as they're qualified. Thank you for thinking I'm young enough to have gone on the radio as soon as I was qualified. 20 years I worked as a doctor. How long were you thinking of indenturing them for? More than 20 years? Good luck with that. I'm not even going to continue. And someone else says, the solution is to cap the rent. 1,200 in Dublin and 1,000 in Cork. Revenue should manage it. In return, 25% of the rent should be taxed, like France, and all costs associated should be tax allowable. Vulture fund landlords should be taxed at 25%. I suppose it depends. Somebody might be having an amazing penthouse with glass walls and the devil knows what, marbled ceilings, and somebody else might have a fairly basic, shoebox apartment on the quays somewhere that isn't very fancy. Very difficult to cap rents when all the properties that are, I suppose, offered and available are very different in structure and size and all that kind of stuff. Thank you for all your texts. 53106, keep them coming. After this, we're going to be talking about whether or not we should breathalyse pregnant women.